Good morning. Sunday school people that are hungry for God, hungry for his presence, right? Okay. The title of my teaching was From Maintenance to Growth. Here come stragglers. Behave, Jim. Okay. Y'all ready? Okay. To grow up, we're going to start. I'll just bounce around, okay? But I think it'll all come together for you. It did me. Because God don't give it to you in a straight line. You got to kind of put it together. So anyway, the first thing, and this is what the Lord taught me. Pray for what will stimulate growth in your Christian life. Prayer is so important to grow. Prayer is the key to heaven. But faith unlocks the door. Okay? But like any powerful weapon, and prayer is a powerful weapon. How many of you know that? But it can be used wrong. You can pray witchcraft prayers over people if you really don't know what you're doing. And that's when you're trying to control somebody. It's when you're doing that witchcraft. 1 Peter, now this is really, I want y'all to get this now. 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3. Like newborn babies, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow unto completed salvation. Psalm 42, 1 and 2, God gave me this scripture right after I started coming to church here. And I think it was his direction to me, this is what I needed to do. And this is what he told me. I'd been praying in the spirit. And he gave me the interpretation of what I was praying. He said, and this is the scripture, and I love it. I quote this scripture in prayer a lot. As the deer panteth for the waters, so my soul longeth after you. My soul thirsteth for God, the living God. You know, he said in Matthew, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall what? Be filled. So if you're not hungry, God's not going to feed you. You got to get hungry. He's prepared a table for us, he said. And some of us want to pick and choose off that table what we want. But we want everything that God wants to give us, right? And we'll never know what God wants to give us until we know his promises. If you're going to grow up in the Lord, you need to know the promises of God. Prayer helps you develop a relationship with Father. Praying is simply being in his presence. And sometimes you really have to pray through. You don't get an automatic breakthrough because you say, Lord, here I am. You get a breakthrough as you surrender in prayer. As you surrender your heart, your mind, your will, and your emotions, and you're clinked into nothing but him. You have to be tuned into God when you pray. Right, Mike? Okay. So there's several reasons why we need to pray. We need to know God's love and nature. He has a very loving nature. He's not mean. He's not going to whip you. But he will chastise you because he wants you to have all of his blessings. And this is what we really need. We really need to pray that we'll be conformed to God's image. We need to pray that. We need to pray for God's direction and his guidance. Pray to know our own heart. That's a good one. Search my heart, O God, and see if there's any wicked way in me. You ever prayed and God showed you something that's wrong, something wicked inside you? All the time. Okay. We pray for Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Thank you for your mercy, your grace. Your love is everlasting. Thank you for that love, Lord. God chose prayer as our communication with him. Why? To fulfill his purposes on earth. If we're not praying, there's not much God can do. We have got to pray his purposes to be fulfilled in every area. We pray to give him glory and honor. See, I told Lee if I got stuck, I was going to holler Lee. He didn't hear me. You better be listening, Lee. Okay. Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah. Things don't get done as quickly. Okay. You have to have an open mouth to pray, don't you? You got to open your mouth. A closed mouth is a closed destiny. As a believer, your mouth is your weapon for deliverance and change, for supernatural turnarounds. The mouth can be a big thing. The mouth is either the greatest of blessings, which may accomplish a world of good, or it is the most lethal and destructive of weapons, able to generate endless evil. It can build up or tear down, to motivate or discourage. We can lift people higher or drag them lower. We can inspire others to greatness or push them to mediocrity. Which would you rather do? Think about that when you're opening your mouth. We want to bless our brothers and sisters, even those that don't know Jesus. We need to treat them the same way. I heard this, I can't think of his name. He's an English preacher. But he said, when we talk to each other, let's speak to the new man, not the old man. We're going to speak to the new man in you, Andy. The new man. That made so much sense to me. Because we're no longer speaking to the old Linda, the old Faye. We're speaking to the new Linda, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So let's remember to do that. Okay, let's see. There are 3,573 promises in the Bible. Did you hear me? And every one of them are for us. How many of them do you claim? Who's what? Who said that? Go ahead, Mike. That's what I said. Okay. Okay. So what is a promise? A promise is not to be broken, is it? You don't break promises. Not supposed to. But Christians do all the time. But we shouldn't. A promise is a declaration of assurance that one will do something or that a particular thing will happen. This is what I declare God's word about who I am, what I have, and what I can do in Jesus Christ who gives me strength. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am loved with an everlasting love. I am above and not beneath. I am the head and not the tail. He is more than enough. His grace is sufficient for me no matter what I'm going through. There are various of graces. The Bible says that we call on God and we ask for grace. Well, what is grace? The divine influence upon our hearts that God uses to change us into His image. It's a divine influence. The Bible, a lot of people say it's favor, blessed favor. But I like the divine influence. I like to think that God's influence is on my heart, causing me to be who I am, more than who I used to be, as I'm changing from glory to glory to glory. And you know what the Bible says? When we behold Him, how do we behold God? In His presence. When you get in His presence, honey, you can only go so far because the glory gets so bright you got to back out. That's a wonderful place to be that you, when you're in prayer, you see the glory. It starts to shine.
I don't back out. I just weep.
Yeah, well, I do that. Yeah.
Overwhelming.
Yep.
And that's just this.
That's just a touch of it. That's
so
it.
Wait, all that.
Glory. Praise God. Okay. Let's share some scriptures on promises. Isaiah 41:10. No, let me read you this first. You know life is unpredictable. We can't always be certain of what's going to happen. Right? We don't know. God does, but we don't. Sometimes we feel like we're on a roller coaster. You're going up and down and you walk with God. You're high today, you're down tomorrow. But God don't want us like that. We want to play a level playing field. We want to be the same today, the same tomorrow, and so forth. A roller coaster will take you backwards, spin you upside down. And life does that. I'm telling you it does. It takes steep, long drops. But God is still God on the mountain. Even when you're in the valley, God's still on the mountain. And He's still God in control. It wavers continually. Goes up and down according to how we feel. This is our natural human faith. Human faith rides a roller coaster. But God's faith don't. God's faith does not ride that roller coaster. You need to start, when you get down like that, tell the enemy to go away. Don't receive those thoughts. We got to clean our thought life up. So, okay, we're going to, Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen," listen to this, "and harden you to difficulties." You hear that? God will harden you to difficulties to where then you won't even recognize them as difficulties anymore. You know, that's good. That is really good. "My victorious right hand of righteousness and justice" is what He'll use. I'm getting down here. Then Isaiah 26:3, "You will guard him and keep him in perfect peace and constant peace whose mind is stayed on you."
Isaiah 26:3,
okay. "He commits himself to you." "To lean on you and hopes confidently in you." God leans on us. And we lean on Him. If we don't, we're missing it. Deuteronomy 31:18. "It is I, the Lord, who goes before you. He will march with you. He will not fail you or let you go or forsake you. Fear not. Neither become broken in spirit, dismayed, depressed, and unnerved with alarm. John 16, 33 says, I have told you these things so that you may have perfect peace and confidence in the world. You may have tribulation and trials, distress and frustration, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. And then the last one on this, Exodus 14, 14. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest. Go ahead. Of my story. I'm sticking with it no matter what I say. Okay. Those are some promises. Now listen to this. Psalm 103:20. Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, you his angels. Who's he talking about? Talking about the angels. You mighty ones who do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Then Psalm 91, 11 and 12. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. There's a lot of scriptures on angels for us, guys. And we need to use our angels. How many ever said, Lord, send your angels? Our minister, yeah. Ministering spirits. Every time we quote scriptures out loud, we are giving voice to the word of God. When we give voice to God's word, his angels are activated in our life. You hear me? Angels minister to Jesus. So use your angels in the right circumstances. They're always there. Judy said this one time. I didn't like it too good, but it was the truth. She told me I was speeding, and I was. She said, Martha, you're getting ahead of your angels. I never thought about it like that. You drive the speed limit, your angels drive. You know what I'm saying? Don't get ahead of them. Although I must confess, I'm not too good on that one. My cut a heavy foot. That's what I've been told anyway. But anyway, God is so good. Let's see where we're at now. These pages are all turned up. Okay. We're talking on prayer. We should pray quality prayers. Do you hear what I'm saying? Quality prayers. Prayers that achieve something in your life. Luke 18, 10 through 14. And this is what it's referring to. The prayer that prevails is fervent, earnest, and passionate. This kind of prayer makes tremendous power available in the heavenlies. And there's a scripture on it. The word of God is more powerful than a two-edged sword, able to cut asunder the heart and the soul. Think about that. God can take and cut the soulless realm from the spirit realm to where we'll know that we're in the spirit and not in the soulless realm, not operating out of our mind, our will, and our emotions all the time, because that's where we stay most of the time, let's face it. So earnest in the Greek, if you use it as an adjective, now this is what it is as an adjective, it means serious, solemn, or grievous. If you use it as a noun, it's a vow, a pledge, and an oath. Philippians 1:20, it's a vow, it's a pledge, it's an oath. According to my earnest expectation and hope that I will in no way be disappointed. You hear that? But will with all boldness, as always, now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. That's a confession that we should be speaking. Whether by life or by death, God's still God. And we'll either glorify him here while we're in our body or when he takes us to heaven. The game changer in all of this, the game changer in your life from maintenance to really growing is fervent prayer. You got to get hold of prayer. You got to, people. You're not going to grow up without it. Okay. I found this quote, and I thought it was real good, from S.D. Gordon. And I looked him up, too. He's reliable. I don't look for nothing it's not. Said, the great people of the earth today are the people who pray. I do not mean those who talk about prayer, nor those who say they believe in prayer, nor yet those who can explain about prayer. But I mean those people who take time and pray. Who take time and pray. And do some fasting along with the praying. I did a fast one time. I'm not bragging. But I had really been having some problems in my knee. And I decided, I said, Lord, I got to have some healing. So I fasted for 21 days. And during that 21 days, my knee broke out in something fierce. I mean, just all kind of stuff. But you know what? It was healed. God healed it. Because he got all the toxins out of my body from the fast. Do you have any toxins you have in your body that you need to fast and get rid of? And that's just a water fast. Just nothing but water for 21 days. Yes, ma'am.
You really did nothing but water for 21 days?
Yeah. And I worked the whole time. Don't do it unless... Lisa, I wouldn't advise you to do it unless you feel like the Lord is leading you that way. Yeah, the Lord's got to lead you to do it. So, James 5:16-18 said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, making tremendous power available in the heavenlies. You want power in the heavenlies? Go for it. Pray. Get in touch with God and what he's doing, what he's got to say about the situation. 1 Kings 3, Solomon's prayer for wisdom. You remember that? All y'all know the story, right? The wisest man that ever lived. The heart of our communication with God is our surrender. A surrendered lifestyle in every area. Offering up our desires so that our hearts might be conformed to the heart of God. A lot of times when I pray, I ask the Lord to let me pray his heart. Not mine, but his. His heart's so much different than mine, buddy. It's pure. But he says, blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want my heart to be pure, don't you? You're not going to see God unless you're pure in heart. You got to see him through all the muck, through all the junk. You got to see him through all of this. So you got to have vision. You got to have a purpose. You got to have a plan for your life. The main thing, I pray this every day. I pray the Father's Prayer every day. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. I pray that every day. And sometimes more than one time. Sometimes more than one time. Okay, when we pray and we ask God for something, do we really mean it? That's the first thing. If you don't really mean it, God knows it. would I rather run my own life? Yep, that's not good. When you call on me to trust you beyond my comfort level. Call on God and trust him beyond your comfort level. When life is not turning out as you would like it, you still going to trust him? You're not going to go back on your word. You're not going to go back into the lifestyle that you left behind. Because sometimes that's what we want to do. The first thing we want to do when God's not doing what we want him to do, we want to go back in the back of us and pick up something we left behind here and drag it with us again. Got to stop that. Okay. Luke 18:1. In this parable, what did Jesus say? He taught all men ought to always pray and not give up, lose heart, or turn coward. Don't lose heart. Hey, I've been praying for 16 years for total healing in my body. And it seemed like it's getting worse. Besides all the damage that was done in my accident, it went run down. I had to have two hips replaced. I had to have a knee replaced. And this was all from an accident I had in 2007. My body just keeps getting worse. But you know what? With a strong spirit, you can make it through. Got to have that strong spirit. You got to know that you know that you know that you know God. Pastor John, you remember that Sunday? He said, I knew in my knower. You got to know in your knower. So, okay. When I think about prayer, I think about these three people, and I know there's a lot more, but I think about Esther. You know, she called to fast for all the women and to pray and to fast and to go before the king. And what happened? Those prayers were answered. God answered her prayer, and she married the king, and Mordecai was saved. Naaman was done away with. And then Daniel. In Daniel 9, he fasted and prayed. And he wanted to know why his prayer wasn't answered. And the Lord told him, or Gabriel told him, he had to wrestle with the enemy so he could get the prayers to him. So there's a second heaven that's constantly warring against us. Constantly. But we go... heaven, we don't even worry about that. That's God's territory. But when we get into that third heaven and we're before the Lord, he's going to answer. He's going to do something. It may not be what we wanted, but he'll do something. Right? And then this one, Jehoshaphat. Oh, yeah. If you read the Second Chronicles chapter 20, but start in verse 5 is where I started. And this is the reason why it was so good. In that prayer, he said he showed the omnipotence of God, the omniscience of God, and the omnipresence of God in that prayer. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present. And that's exactly what Jehoshaphat said in his prayer. He knew who God was. He knew he was all-powerful. He knew he was all-knowing. And he knew he was omnipresent. So we got to know who God is. We got to know that much about him. Okay? But what did Jehoshaphat, he was worried. They told him there was armies coming against him. He didn't have no fear. He knew his God. A person, what's it say in Isaiah? The man that knows God shall do great exploits. Let's do some great exploits for God. Right? If it's not anything but your own life, getting it under control. Under control to where people can see the light of Jesus in you. to where you're not ashamed of who you are in Christ Jesus. Let's do that. Okay. Now let me see where I'm at. This thing is going forward, backward. Okay. This is the thing about prayer. The beauty of prayer has to be discovered for oneself. You'll never know how beautiful prayer is until you really get into it. If you've never tasted from the rock, the honey, the Bible, Jesus said, taste and see that I'm good. Have you tasted him? How sweet he is? I know some has. Well, I know most of you have, probably. But prayer has to be discovered. It really does. How are you going to discover it? You keep trying. Thelma Tweedy used to say years ago when we were upstairs in the prayer room up there, and Thelma come in one morning. All y'all know Thelma. She is hilarious, is she not? She is a trip. But she come in and she said, I'm showing up for practice. And we were in prayer. And she said, I'm showing up for practice. You got to practice praying. You hear me? God will continue to fill you when you practice praying. You don't pray today and don't pray a week from today. You just pray sporadically. You pray every day, sometimes three or four times. You pray every day. The Bible says you ought to always pray, so, you know. Prayer should always be on your heart. That's it.
You know, not something strenuous. It's just like, and you keep doing it. And that's the way prayer really is.
Praise God. Yes, it is. Praise God. Okay. The Lord told me this. It was a few years ago when I taught. And this is what he told me about prayer. I don't know if, I think Lee was in here during that teaching. And Cinda maybe. This is what he said. No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. More prayer, more power. Much prayer, much power. Make you want to pray? It did me, buddy. Okay. What we want to do is encourage people about the Lord. What God has given me and what he's done in my life, he'll do for you. He's not a respecter of persons. If you see somebody, you know, that you admire, you respect their walk with God and all of that, hey, God will do the same thing for you. What he's done for me, he'll do for you. And the same Jesus that lives in my humanity, the part of me that's humanity, lives in the same part of you that's humanity. So you got to know who you are and what God is all about. Ephesians 5:17, listen to this. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of God is. It is not wise for people to live in ignorance of God's promises. Not a good thing, people. Why? because you cut yourselves off from so much that God wants to do for you. And He does. He wants to do for you what He's done for Twitty Girl. Sonia. And Andy and his wife and all you all. The same thing. All to grow up in Him. That's what He wants. He wants us to grow up in Him. So that He can begin to just pour His love out on us. Okay, here are some things that might stunt your growth. On the negative side. Okay? Partial submission is no submission. Do you hear me? Partial submission is not submission. That's like telling a half lie. You know, you told a white lie, it's still a lie. But how many times do we want to sympathize with that part? Yeah, we do. We want to sympathize sometimes with that. Lack of commitment or inconsistency. You got to be committed. Indifference or lack of interest in the things of God. You know, I didn't have much interest in the things of God 30 years ago till I come here. And I saw people worshiping, raising their hands, dancing. And I thought, I don't know this God. I didn't love Him the way they did. But you know what? I learned to. Because I got hungry that day. I got hungry when I come here. I got hungry because I heard some truths that I had never heard. I've been in a Baptist church all my life. Got saved in a Baptist church. But I'd never heard the truths that are taught. And the visiting speakers that came through here. And I know Andy remembers Von Clark. He's the one that told me I was like a jap slapper. He said I was a person that wanted to jap slap people. But what was so good about it is that very day at work, I had said I was going to jap slap somebody. Now you tell me, God, He knows everything about us. And I love it. I know. So good. So anyway. Do we have to? I got 5 minutes. Okay. You have no enthusiasm. You know, some people have a fear of growth in God because they got to leave their comfort zone. You got to get out of comfortability. Sin, we know, is a no-no. Relationships that we should not be having. Bad company corrupts good morals. Not being intentional. Not making the deliberate choices that will reflect what is most important to us. You got to intentionally make choices that are good ones. Intentionally. Hang out with people who agree with you. Everybody wants to do that, don't you? You want people to agree with you. But you need to hang out with people that can tell you the truth. Be a risk taker. They're faith people. Okay. Growth is a continual process, people. Don't get down if you're guilty of some of these things. That's it. You got to learn to do that, man. You got to learn, you know, that so you had an argument with your husband or your wife or whatever before you come to church. Repent and go on. Don't let it condemn you. Don't be condemned about it. But growth is a continual process of becoming more and more like Jesus, and it's identified in the fruits of the Spirit that are in our lives, and we want those fruits. But the Christian life is anything but passive. It's not passive. No way. No matter how long you've been walking with God, You can know one thing for sure. You will never just naturally grow up in the spirit, in the things of God. It don't come natural. It's against our nature. We were in a sin nature. We have a God nature. We have a sin nature. And that sin nature is what we've got to stop giving to, because it will pull on us. Okay? We have to do the things that will help us cement our relationship with God. One thing that I learned too is home groups are very important. If you're not in a home group, get in a home group. Because I'm telling you what's a fact, home group get real. They get real. And you learn from them. But when you can learn to vent to somebody, vent your frustrations, vent your aggravations, or tell them the truth. You know, if you've done something and you don't know if it's right or wrong, confess it. Confess your faults one to another, whereby you may be healed. And it works. But we have a home group, I'm telling you. We laugh, we cry, we pray, and it's awesome. We've got this one guy in our home group. You guys would love him. He's on fire. And he's been on fire since I knew him. He and I used to be over singles here in the church. We were over the singles group. He was on fire then. He's still on fire. We'd go to the prison and preach. He's still on fire. And I think some of his fire rubbed off on me and mine rubbed off on him. Because I'm telling you, we love each other. And we love each other in truth. I know him. He knows me. He knows everything. I mean, you know, I can just be so real with him and he can be real with me. And that's what we need to, as a body of Christ, we got to learn to be real. Not hide behind a facade. Take your mask off when you come to church. You don't have to wear a mask when you come to church. You do not. Just be who you are, who God created you to be. And we'll do more next Sunday. Thank you for listening. Wow, I didn't know I was going to get a hand clap.